It's not that I won't go back. I can't go back. If you've been changed, a butterfly can never be a caterpillar again, even if it wanted to, which it doesn't. It can't go back. You can't go back either. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. I don't know if this was mentioned or not, but well, first of all, let's keep the Yarbrough family in prayer as they're dealing with the passing of their father, Brother Mike. And so there's a viewing at Brings Chapel on East Broadway, 6910 East Broadway, tomorrow from 5 to 8, and memorial service at 11 a.m. on Friday at Tucson Tabernacle. But first and foremost, please keep the family in prayer. You know, it doesn't matter how prepared you are for the passing of a loved one, it still leaves a hole, and there's feelings that have to be dealt with, and so just in strength as well. So we got a funeral and a wedding and a back-to-back, and a baby dedication the next day. So just life throws you all kinds of things, some sweet and some sour, but we take it as it comes, and we trust the Lord. The Lord's Choice, Part 9. If you wouldn't mind standing, we'll read from Luke chapter 15, verses 28 through 32. Now, I'm very aware that we made the devil mad. And we didn't even get out of service before he started showing us how mad he is. So we just got to be mindful. You know, we talk about casting down spirits, casting down powers and principalities, casting down anything that exalts itself above the Word of God. Well, you cast it down, you cast it out, and it's going to hang around trying to find out if there's somebody that will give it a home. And it might manifest in the car on the way home, or you might not even make it to the car. So, you know, it's we thank the Lord for His Word, and we thank the Lord for deliverance, but we got to hold the ground when God gives us, when He sets us free, we got to hold on to it. And we got to be wise to the ways of our enemy and realize that, you know, as we've said many times, we're not battling against flesh and blood. These are spirits. And so, in other words, you should expect the devil to, spirits to try and trouble you. But we'll not fear any evil, for an host is encamped about us. Amen. So, Luke chapter 15 and verse 28. Once again, speaking from the parable of the prodigal son. And he was angry and would not go in. This is the older brother. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Now remember, the older brother is a type of your natural man, of your reasoning and intelligence and conscience and affections and the part of you that isn't changed yet, but's heading for a change. And of course, the prodigal son, the younger son, is a type of the gene seed in you that's been quickened, and you've come to your right mind, and you've come to your father's house, and there's a great celebration. And of course, the older son is he's upset, and the father is doing an intercessory work between the flesh and the soul. Thank God for that. You know, the war that starts within you, it's not you fighting you, but it's you fighting you. It's your soul and your flesh having it out. Amen. But we've got help. And we've read the back of the book. And we know how this turns out. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee. I never went out in the world. I never did this. I've always been a good boy. I grew up in church, and I've quoted Bible scripture. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends, which is interesting that his friends are different than the friends there that were invited, obviously, to rejoice at the return of the son. But as soon as this thy son, not my brother, but your son, was come, which hath devoured your living, may I remind you, which I wouldn't have given him if I was you, with harlots. This is just gossip. He doesn't know that. He'd have to be out there to... Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. This flesh will receive its inheritance one day at the change. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, we're thankful that we can gather together for another midweek service. Lord, we're looking for revelation. We're looking for refreshment. We're looking for deliverance. We're looking for healing, for peace, for rest. Whatever it is that each individual is needing tonight, Lord, you've already provided it, but we've come for it, Lord. We've come to sit at your table. We've come to be washed by the water of your word. And Father, we ask a special blessing upon the Yarborough family and extended family, Lord, as they are jumping through all the hoops, that, Lord, to try to put closure to the passing of Brother Mike. And Lord, we just ask that you would give them strength and encouragement. And Father, we pray that you'd bless all of our visitors tonight. And Lord, bless the rest of us as well. Father, as we surrender to you, as we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, speak to our hearts, Lord, the words of life, and we'll surely give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Well, that's nice. So the younger son, he's returning home, and the result of him coming back home is that there's a little friction in the house. Just let somebody get saved. Let somebody decide to change their life and start going to church, and all hell breaks loose. So the older brother, he was, you know, fairly content until the younger returned home and became the new center of attention. The younger returning home represents the new birth. It represents the regeneration that takes place in the soul after you die out to yourself and you come to your senses. A new nature is quickened in you, born in you. And the older brother, he represents the flesh man that remains after the new birth, that can only reason and imagine and remember and feel and needs to be told what the truth is and what the truth isn't. So there's nothing wrong with the elder brother's thinking and feelings as long as they are not in opposition with the younger brother, with the soul. So the elder brother, he can imagine all kinds of things. And without somebody to intercede on his thoughts, without somebody to interject and to bounce thoughts off of, his imaginings become reality after a while. So the elder brother doesn't comprehend the new birth. Neither can he. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. You cannot know the kingdom. You cannot enter into the kingdom except you be born again. And it's not the older brother, it's not the outer man that's born again. It's the inner man. So the elder brother doesn't comprehend the new birth. And the elder brother doesn't understand why there's such a fuss at all the rejoicing about his younger brother and what's taking place with his younger brother. But the new birth is being born from above. And things below cannot comprehend things that are from above. John chapter 1 verse 12 puts it this way. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now that word received in the Greek, it means to take up a thing to be carried, to take upon oneself, to take in order to carry away, to choose, to select, to experience. I like this. To get back. So as many as received something in order to get back. If you are a son or daughter of God, you always were a son or daughter of God. You were in his thinking, chosen in him before the foundation of the world. An attribute, a thought or an attribute in his thinking that then became word, that then became flesh. But you had to be quickened. So John doesn't say, that Jesus made them sons. And of course, you know, that's our the natural mind. That's what you get out of it. And organized religion, that's what they get out of it. That you all of a sudden you're made into a son. But that's not what John said. He says that he gave them power to become sons. Now when Jesus came to the earth, we didn't become sons. We received what was needed to come back to our position as sons and daughters of God. So become the sons of God, or coming to pass, that it comes to pass that you step into, once again, being a son or daughter of God. Now this will become more clear as we go along. Matthew chapter 1 verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying. Now, interestingly, this was translated from our King James Version was translated from the Greek, and they did the best. The translators did the best that they could, but of course, their choices of words was somewhat influenced by their understanding at that time, because you're looking for the right word replacement, and it's based on what you think the thought is that's trying to be expressed, right? So the word done that's here, it's the same Greek word as become. So something was coming to pass. Remember, that's the definition of become, is to come to pass. Something was coming to pass that was spoken of many years prior. All this was done. All this was coming to pass. All this was becoming, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. So the prophets have spoken. The Lord spoke through the prophets, said certain things, and they have to come to pass. They have to become. So something was coming to pass that had been spoken many, many years prior. For instance, a virgin shall conceive. So in the same sense, you and I, as when we're born again as sons and daughters of God, we are coming to pass. We are coming into our place, into our position as sons and daughters of God, which is what the Word spoke concerning us before there was ever a molecule. Before the worlds were formed. Again, Matthew chapter 5 verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Amen. Guess what? Same Greek word. For become. Done. Fulfilled. They chose English words based on the same Greek word. Thinking, okay, this is what that must mean. Fulfilled, coming to pass, done. Matthew 7:28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. You guessed it, same Greek word. Matthew 18:12. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth unto the mountains and seeketh that which has gone astray, that word have, is the same Greek word. John 1:14, once again. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Same Greek word, made, become, fulfilled, come to pass, becoming. So the Word was becoming flesh. The Word was made flesh. The Word was fulfilled in flesh. John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now that word sons in the Greek is offspring, children. Those are the thoughts that come to our mind normally. Metaphorically, the name transferred to that intimate and reciprocal relationship formed between men by the bonds of love. It also means born ones. Born ones. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become born ones of God. Oh, it's so much more personal than God felt sorry for us. And, you know, we're still no good. We're still rotten. And, we've sworn that we'll try to do better. We'll try to live better. No, you must be born again. And if you're born again, you have become sons of God. You are born ones of God. You are the offspring of God. John 1:13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. So if you're born again of God, it wasn't the will of man. Guess what? It wasn't even your will. It wasn't the will of the flesh. It wasn't blood, nor the will of man, but of God. It's God's will. Chosen in Him before the foundation of the world to be holy, blameless, without sin, without blemish, born of God. Now just think about it this way for a moment. Now I know the natural mind resists this, but this is an airtight case and it only works one way. And it's backed up by Scripture and it's also backed up by the message of the hour. Born of God. Listen, when my son was born, let's take Micaiah as an example, or Mike. When Mike was born, he was born of Sister Baker and myself. Do we agree to that? What choice did he have? What choice did he make to be my son? I chose for him to come forth. I didn't know he was going to be taller than me. There's a lot of things I didn't know about him, right? But he was in me, and I chose... We chose together in a union to get him out of me and bring him forth. And he had no choice. So whether he likes it or not, he's my son. Sorry, buddy. He had no choice. And when you and I are born of God, we come into being. We come to pass. We come into the fulfillment of. We come into the manifestation of. So if you are born of God, Brother Henry, nothing can keep you from coming to pass. You are actually coming to pass. You are actually a word that was spoke. Spoken word is the original seed, and then that seed that's down on the inside of you, quickened by the Holy Spirit, begins to come to pass. From fulfilling all that God has spoken concerning you, nothing can keep that from happening. No devil from hell, the gates of hell, nothing is going to keep you from fulfilling what God has spoken concerning you. So the drama of redemption, it's a drama of thoughts that were in God's thinking that became words that are becoming flesh as it's lived out. Hallelujah. And his word will not return unto him void. It will return unto him. But his word will go forth. It'll fulfill what it was sent to do and then go back. James 1:18 puts it this way. Of his own will begat he us. Of his own will. Now, I don't read anywhere there where it said he asked you if you wanted this to happen. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So, in this parable of the prodigal son, the father told the older brother that the younger boy was dead, but now has become alive. Now that sounds very strange. When was he ever dead? The younger boy was dead, but now has become alive. In other words, he was in a darkened condition, but he came to the light. Let's read it here, Luke 15:24. For this my son was dead. Now he wasn't physically dead. And is alive again. He was lost and is found. Now notice, he was a son before he left the father's house and went into the world and became buried in sin. He was a son when he came back. He came to his senses, as the scripture says, came to himself and said, wait a minute. I've got a father who owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And there's servants in the house, and even the servants are eating better than I am. Here I am feeding the pigs, and I can't even eat the food that's offered to the pigs. The word dead, nekros, in the Greek, destitute of life, without life, inanimate, spiritually dead, destitute of a life that recognizes and is devoted to God. Destitute of a life that recognizes and is devoted to God. So there was a time when we were destitute of a life that recognized God and devoted ourselves to God, inactive as respect of doing right. So only one nature can drive you at any given time. And as we know, as we've been going through this series, your soul is the nature of your spirit. Your spirit, you know, like the spirit of Elijah. The spirit of Elijah is outdoors and woodsman and courageous. And, you know, there's all kinds of different attributes to it. Melancholic and choleric at the same time. And that's the spirit. But then there's a nature that goes with that spirit. And that nature is either is a doubter or it believes. And we were all born with a doubting nature. We were all born with a sinful, darkened nature, the nature of this world. So you can only have one nature driving you at one time. So in order for that new nature to be quickened in you, the old nature has to die first. And then the new birth brings that seed, that gene, that nature that's laying there dormant, but it's already in you, it quickens it to life. And you become, in your soul, that's the part of you that came from God. And that's the part of you that believes God's word. And that's the part of you that there is no sin in. And the new nature was spoken into existence originally in God's creation. He spoke everything into existence. The spoken word is the original seed, no matter what it is. The new nature was spoken into existence in God's creation and was actually laying here in seed form, waiting for a bedding ground and quickening power. Now, the bedding ground came in your flesh when you came to this earth. That seed was laying there, waiting for. So this is the bedding ground that it was waiting for. It couldn't just come to. God had a specific thought that he was placing in you to be manifested in your day, a specific word that would be fulfilled. But then it has to be quickened. So just as with other seeds, like an oak tree, you plant that seed, and everything that oak tree is ever going to be is already in the seed, right? So the characteristics of what the seed produces is already in the seed. So if you're if there's a seed in you of a son or daughter of God, a son or daughter of God, all the characteristics of a son or daughter of God is in that seed. Are you with me? And yet God in nature, if you think about it, God in nature, He left room for variances to take place in plant life and in animal life so that plants and animals could still survive and live after the fall. They lived one way before the fall. They live another way after the fall. And we see that God left some latitude in there so that certain characteristics could come and manifest and adapt to keep the species alive. God planned it ahead of time. And God spoke a word concerning you, which is a gene. You're of the genes of your father, which is your nature, your characteristics. Peter puts it this way, we become partakers of the divine nature. Your nature, your characteristics, your name, and what you will manifest. It all means the same thing. That's who you really are, down in the soul. So God knew how you would live on the earth in a fallen earth and in a fallen condition, a fallen human condition. And He knew that you would go the way of the world because you were born in this world without a choice. And yet He knew that same gene that He planted down on the inside of you and that He's quickened by His Holy Spirit, He knew that gene would one day walk the streets of gold. He knew that gene would lead you to a body change one day. And God ensured in the meantime that you could live in time and also live in a rapture and live in eternity without having to change that gene seed ever. Hallelujah. Luke 15 verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. So the younger boy was dead to who he was. To who his real, what his real nature was. To who he was created to be. To what God had spoken concerning him. And something took place that made him alive to who he was created to be. Are you with me? And that was a cause for a celebration. Him coming to himself. Him coming to the fulfillment of what God put him here for. Romans 6 verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Something in us was dead, but now you have raised from the dead. What part of you raised from the dead, I ask you? The old nature does not resurrect. And this is not Alcoholics Anonymous, where you continue to say, I'm an alcoholic. This is, in the same way, you do not continue to repeat, I'm a sinner. You were a sinner, but that part of you died. And another part of you has come to life that's not a sinner. A new creature. The old nature doesn't resurrect. This is a new life. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, obviously, you're physically alive, so there's a part of you that was dead. That part of you that was dead is that sinful nature. The quickening power is only in the Lord Jesus. And only the Lord Jesus can quicken us. Only the Lord Jesus can impart life. He came to take away our sin, and He also came to impart life. And so only He can bring that life to you. The Word, the written Word, will not quicken you. It can't quicken you. There's no life in it. But the living Word, the author of that Word, living Word, when He comes to you and speaks to you, He quickens you by the Holy Spirit. You hath He quickened, Ephesians 2:1, you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us before you were even born, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath, past tense, raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Notice it didn't say Christ shall give thee life. When you arise from the dead, obviously you have life. This is a resurrection. A call goes forth. Arise, thou that sleepest. It's the seed gene that's being spoken to. It's that part of you that came from God that's down on the inside of the inside in that third chamber in the soul. That part of you that came from God, and he speaks to that part of you and says, get up, arise, resurrect, wake up. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead as he's raised you from the dead. Colossians 2:13, your flesh still needs a resurrection. Your flesh still needs a transformation. Your flesh still needs a change to take place. But in the soul, you've already resurrected. You've already passed from death unto life. You've become a new creature in the soul. Now, in the soul, it's not your memory or conscience or affections. In the soul is you believing or doubting the word. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So who was quickened? It isn't the old nature being reconditioned. That'll never work. This isn't a remodel. Remodels, you know, they rarely are as nice as a brand new something. You know, there's always some lingering something that shows you, and you ask, well, why is this way? Well, it's because this used to be that way, and that's kind of the best that we could do, right? This isn't a remodel. This isn't reconditioning. This is a new life. In the message, persevere it. Brother Brown said, and if there be any seed that's been in the hearts of the people and never has come to life yet, may something be done tonight that'll quicken that life, that'll quicken that seed, Lord, to a realization of the message of this end time in which we are living. So in other words, just as we read in the scripture here prior, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, be quickened, and Christ will give you light. So he's saying, may that life come, and that quickening life come and quicken the seed so that you'll come to the light of the message. Quicken that life to the realization of the message. Quicken that life to the realization of the light, to the realization of the truth in your day. Once you are quickened to the realization of your message, you can never leave it. You say, what about? Well, they weren't quickened. If you've been quickened, there's no going back. You sang it before I started preaching tonight. I can't go back. I won't go back to the way I used to be. You can't, because that nature that wanted to do those things is no longer there. Sure, there'll be flaws and mistakes in the flesh. We know that. We get that. You'll be saying you're sorry, but in your soul, you don't want to live the way you used to live. You don't want to do the things that you used to do. Hallelujah. And again, the seed of discrepancy. He says, now notice, as ever, as soon as Jesus went away, he went into heaven, the Holy Spirit was sent back. That was the seed, the life giver unto the word. As we spoke last night, it's the one that quickens the word. The Holy Spirit is the one that quickens the word. God spoke in the beginning, and then the Holy Spirit, he brooded over what he had already spoke and brought it to pass. Quicken means bring to life. The genuine Holy Spirit only brings to life the word that it is. It doesn't make it something. It quickens what already is there. It won't bring a creed to life. It can't, because it's nothing of the creed. It's the life of the Word of God. For it is God. See, and it quickens the body. Then again, in the rising of the sun, he says, now, and then not only that, he sent word to his disciples, his believing, fear not, for I am he that was dead and is alive again forever, and I have the keys to death and hell. I've already conquered it. Don't fear anymore. For every foreordained, predestinated seed of God shall come to life when that light spreads across the earth of the glorious gospel in every age. It'll bring forth the crop that God ordained it to do. He has raised from the dead. Jesus said, I thank you, Father, all that you've given me, they're going to come. I won't lose one. Their names are written on the palms of my hands. Their names are written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. He'll not lose one. He says, oh, what a wonderful thing that is. I am alive or quickened. The word means, the word quickened, the Greek word, it means something that's made alive after death. Like the seed that goes into the earth. It has to die. Every bit of the seed. It has to rot. Every bit of the seed. And every bit of the life that was in the seed has to come forth again. He was quickened, he says. Not only that, and will send the same life that quickened me, the power that brought me from the grave, I'll send it upon you to quicken you, that where I am, there ye will be also. This is not a maybe or it might be or it's possible, or if you click your heels and turn around and say there's no place like home, or cross your fingers or follow a yellow brick road. None of that. This is amen and amen. This is the unfailing realities of the living God. God's word cannot fail. This is his plan. This is how he set it up. We'll deal with your choice here a little bit later on. Again, from the rising of the sun, he says, now as the sun was sent across the earth, oh, I love how he puts this, as the sun was sent across the earth, not to bring rocks, which was dirt also, to life. The sun wasn't sent so that rocks will come alive when the sun strikes it. It was not to bring all dirt to life, but it was to bring the part of the dirt which is enclosed around the life. The part of the dirt that's wrapped around the seed that's down on the inside of you, the sun was sent to quicken that dirt, that life that's in that dirt. Oh, friends, this is shouting material here. But was to bring part of the dirt which was enclosed around a life. Not all man will receive Christ. We know that. Oh, no. But those which God foreordained life is housed around some dirt of the earth, that's the one he come to quicken. They're the ones. You say, how do I know? Do you believe? Have you repented? Is there something in you that said, that's what I want? If there's nothing in you to quicken, you don't want it. You want to continue to live the way that you've been living. Except now you want God to be your errand boy on top of it. He says that now, that dirt would lay there in the sun, and that dirt would say, oh, this sun is so hot. Oh, these services are too long. Oh, do you realize who's talking there? Rocks and dirt. Oh, this is too hot, too scalding. Oh, I can't take it. But that little seed said, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I came to church for. That's why I keep coming over and over and over. And it began to spring forth to life. It quickened that part of the dirt because the sun was not sent to quicken the rock, not to quicken the dirt,
Not even to quicken my flesh, but to quicken the life of the seed. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm so glad that this was left into His hands and not mine. So your body enjoys the benefit of the gene seed that's in you that's being quickened. And it's living a better life than it would. It's promised healing, it's promised deliverance, it's promised a sane mind, a good night's rest, 3 squares in a cot, whatever you have need of. It's dirt enclosed around the seed, but this dirt is being blessed in the process. You has He quickened by His Spirit, the real you. And nothing can stop you from rising up when He comes to meet us in the air. Nothing. Nothing. Oh, hallelujah. The flesh man says, why do we have to go to church? Why do we have to hear the word? It's dirt that's surrounding a seed. And the seed needs to come in contact with Christ in order to be quickened. Now, it doesn't have to happen here, but this is a good place for it. And then once that seed is quickened, it feeds on the word. The seed does. And so the seed brings you to church. The seed tells the flesh, hey, we're going to church. And the flesh says, well, wait a minute, I'd rather go to a movie, or I'd rather do this, or I'd rather go to an all-you-can-eat restaurant and just kind of, you know, find a room there and, you know, stay there till the rapture. But the soul says, hey, I'm starving. You've been eating already, buddy. It's time for me to eat. Disneyland's okay, but Disneyland will not feed the quickened soul. So you don't have to force a child of God to come to church, because that seed will come to church. Just like I don't have to force you to a restaurant when you're hungry. I don't have to beg you, please come eat. Oh, you're getting so skinny. You know that ain't true. You look like you're going to fall away. Oh, I don't know. I just don't feel like it. It takes too long. And you have to sit on a chair. I've never heard of anybody really complaining about the chair they sat on when they ate. It's only in church that the chairs are important. Sporting game, you know, a bleacher's just fine. You know, it's only church that you got to have 3 layers of padding. It's because the flesh is saying, what are we doing here? But the soul is saying, hey, I'm feasting on heavenly manna. And it's causing me to grow and mature. Oh, hallelujah. Let's have church. Again, from God's provided place of worship. And when He raised up the Son of God on Easter morning and sent forth the Holy Spirit, it was to quicken. What was the Holy Spirit sent for? Not to bring gifts. They already had them. Right? Not to give them a ministry. They already had a ministry. It was to quicken the gene seed that's down on the inside. It was to quicken also that seed of eternal life that He foreknew before the foundation of the world that would be here. Again, power to transform. God through a seed of His word. And there is only one thing that can quicken the word. And that is the Spirit, for it is the life giver to the Word. And when the life in the Word meets the life of the Spirit, it produces whatever the seed is. Oh, hallelujah. People that want a dry, old, dead, formal service, what they want is a lifeless service. Well, they'll admit that. They don't want that kind of life that makes noise and, you know, kind of shows you that it's alive. They want one that goes, good point. Notice this, Smyrnian church age. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed. And therefore, we were reborn. For only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed. It's a reason we could be quickened. In non-seed, there's nothing to quicken. They can be saved, but there's nothing to quicken. That's why they can be deceived. The seed is laying in you. Just as the seed lay in the earth, and God brooded over the earth in the beginning to bring that seed forth.
when we read the, we don't have time to get into it in great detail, but let me just touch on something here for just a moment. In the beginning, it says God created the heavens and the earth, right? Is the sun in the heavens? Yeah, he created the sun. He created the earth. He created the heavens. He created the other dimensions. Created this dimension. The earth was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And he said, let there be light. You say, well, okay, well, that's when he created the sun. No, that's not what that means. And we'll get into that in just a moment. When God said, let there be light, there already was light. What he has already created in the heavens, in the earth. But God said, let there be light in order for the darkness to be rolled back and for that light that already existed to come in contact with the seed that was already there, but it was laying in darkness. So let there be light. He's saying, let the light come and strike this seed and bring this seed forth. Let the darkness roll away. Let the mist be pushed on back. Now hold on to that thought, because that's very important, because that's what he did to you and I. This is what he does in his natural creation. You're part of that creation. God doesn't change the ways that he does things. In the third seal, he said, go get your husband. So he's dramatizing to us the woman at the well. Remember the woman at the well? She's a prostitute. The disciples are sent away because Jesus knows that they're going to kind of hinder. He said, I must needs go to Samaria. And on the way, he runs into this woman at the well. And he knew that he was going to have to cross paths with her. But he also knew that the disciples were going to look at her sinful condition. And they were going to, it wasn't an atmosphere of faith, but it was an atmosphere of doubt, right? He said, go get your husband and come here. She said, my husband? I haven't got any husband. Oh, he said, that's the truth. Said, you've been running around with five. She's had five husbands, and you've got the sixth one now. You've had five, and now you know that I've told you the truth, right? Now the sixth one she's living with now. And he said, and that's not your husband. He says, watch. What was it? The light struck that seed that had been laying there that was spoke by God. Oh, I hope you get it tonight. That seed was spoke by God, but it wasn't spoke by God right then when he was speaking to her. It was spoke when God formed the heavens and the earth. When he spoke his creation, when he created, he spoke that word, which is her. But she had to end up in a body. Amen? The light struck that seed that had been laying there that was spoke by God. Yes, sir. The seed was on the earth when God moved the water away and the sun hit it, it would come up. So the sun was already shining, but the sun couldn't hit it till God moved the waters away, separated the waters below from the waters above, moved back the mist. The seed was on the earth when God moved the water away and the sun hit it and it come up. That's right. See, that's all it needed was sun. It needed light. Yes, sir. That's what she needed. And then when the Holy Spirit in him moved away her past life. Oh, friends, your past life is darkness. It's death. It's darkness, and light cannot strike the seed that's down here as long as that darkness is laying there. So the darkness has to be moved back. The light has to come and drive away your past life. You've got to be separated from your past life before you can be quickened. Before the light can strike the seed, the darkness over your life has to be moved back. That's when you confess your sins. That's when you repent. That's when you say, God, kill that old nature. Roll it back. When the Holy Spirit in him moved away her past life and showed it to her. Showed it to her. You thought he was just having a conversation. He's going through her past life. Go get your husband.
Well, you've had five, and the one that you have now is not your husband. Going through that whole thing is her life. And he's got to deal with that first. Friends, he's got to deal with that in our lives first. That's why we confess that we are sinners. That's your old nature. That's you confessing that you were born a sinner. You were born a slave to sin. You couldn't have served God if you tried. And no man ever sought God at any time. God had to draw you. Aren't you glad that he called you one day? Aren't you glad that the light came across your path one day? Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit in him moved away her past life and showed it to her. When he shows it to you, you see sin, 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 darkness. Then the light struck it. And she said, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." So the darkness is your past life. And that darkness had to be moved back in order for light to strike the seed that's down on the inside of you. The woman at the well, she had a past life that held back the light from contacting that seed. So she continued to live the way she lived. Jesus spoke to her, said, "Go get your husband." They discussed her past life. And he said, "The one that you have now is not your husband." The Holy Spirit said, "Go get your husband." And that moved away her past life, and light struck. Friends, when you're born again of the Spirit of God and that seed comes to life, that's the part of you that unites with him. And he cannot marry anything other than a virgin. So no matter of max factor, no matter of reforming, no matter of I'll try to do better, you're still a harlot. You're not a virgin. There's no way in your first nature that you can ever be a virgin. That part of you has to die. Your old husband has to die, which is you serve Satan. Amen. That part of you has to die. And then another part of you that's been laying there is quickened. It comes to life with a new nature. Amen. And that's the part that he unites with, and there's no sin in it. Now, if you can't say amen, I'm going to quote some scripture here in a few minutes. It don't get any plainer than this. I don't care what you've been taught before. This is the truth. I believe every seed was laying there from some other civilization or something. Now, I've puzzled over that, and probably you have too. It's the only time he ever makes a statement like that, from some other civilization or something. But I believe what he's saying here, yeah, there was a... that other civilization was... a heavenly civilization. It's how things were supposed to be. The seeds were laying there from a civilization that was supposed to be, from how things were supposed to be. And as soon as the water lifted off and light struck it, up come the trees and everything. The same thing with the human being. It's a type. When all the mist is moved away, what's the mist? It's your past life. It's your life as a sinner. It's your life down at the honky-tonk. It's your life as a Jehovah Witness. It's your life as a... whatever. As a Republican. Oh, that didn't feel good, now did it? All politics are out of the devil. You got to compromise. It's a type. When the mist is moved away and the revealed truth to that real seed laying there still germinized and the light of the gospel can strike it by a true vindication of the word, seeing that word made manifest, it'll live. It's got life in it. Outside of that, it can't live. It hasn't got no life. So that civilization is the civilization from eternity. It's the spoken word that came, that was to be manifested, and it is being manifested. God sowed seed in the earth, and the earth is the female. The earth is the bedding ground that God needed to bring forth the seed which comes from him. All life comes from God. And he rolled away the darkness. and light began to strike. Again, from the seventh seal, he says, when it come to Peter, there was an elected seed laying there on the inside. And they saw it, and all the Father has give, hath, past tense, given me, they'll come. They'll come to me. Oh my, I love that. Yes, sir. Notice, the believer does believe it. The unbelievers can't believe it. So now, if anybody wants to argue about serpent seed and things, and you try to show it to them and they won't listen, well, just walk away. Leave them alone. It's not that you just don't care. It's that you're not going to get through. Just walk away. Leave them alone. See, God don't argue, neither do his children. So a seed laid in you, and it might have laid dormant in you, depending on how old you are, might have laid there for years. Just as flower seeds, you know, we know out here in the desert, flower seeds can lay in the desert and lay on the hillside. And then we can have a heavy spring rain, which we normally don't get. And it can cause what they call a 100-year bloom. And you think, where did all those flowers come from? The seed's been laying there, just waiting for the moisture and the sun. So it laid in you when you went to dances. If you were in the world prior to coming to the Lord, when you went to dances, when you went to parties, there was a seed laying there. But your old life kept the light from coming into contact with the seed. And when people tried to talk you into going to church, you said, I ain't going there. Because that old life didn't want to die. But one day, the same Lord Jesus that spoke to the woman at the well, he spoke to your gene seed, and it was quickened to life. Hallelujah. A man that was so illiterate, speaking of Peter, that he couldn't even sign his own name, we are told. The Bible said in the book Acts of the Apostles, the third chapter, that he was both ignorant and unlearned. But it pleased God to make him the head of the church at Jerusalem and give him the keys to the kingdom. Because when that predestinated seed laying there in the old fisherman, when the light struck it, quickly he recognized that it was the Messiah. So quickening comes in stages. We know the birth comes in stages. Water, blood, spirit. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. The person of the Lord Jesus moving in. So this obviously was not the fullness of the new birth. It couldn't be. The Spirit hadn't been sent yet. The price hadn't been paid yet so that he could send his Spirit. He hadn't purchased. He hadn't paid the debt for the sin. But the light coming in contact with that seed could begin to move back things in that fisherman's life. And that seed began to yawn a little bit. Began to see things for the first time. So this was the beginning of the birth process. Darkness had begun to be rolled back so that light could begin to move over that seed. So Peter recognized the Messiah at some level. We get it at greater and greater levels. But he still had issues. He still lied. He still denied the Lord. He hadn't had the full birth. Hadn't been quickened. He was on his way to it. Jesus said not long after that, he said, Peter, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. So he hadn't been converted yet. The inside of the inside hadn't been converted. But light was striking that soul. Are you with me? It was a process for you too. This has been a treacherous thing for many in our ranks in this day. And it actually it is in every age. Many think because they recognize the message that they got the Holy Ghost. Darkness is rolling back. And light is coming. But the seed still has not come to life. There's a process that it has to go through. Repent, be baptized, justified, sanctified. Then he fills you with the Spirit. He says, now that proved there that that man knowed, it proved that that seed had been laying there. His name was on the Lamb's book of life since the foundation of the world. He still didn't look like a believer. When the Lamb was slain in God's own thinking, and as soon as the light struck it, quickly it came to life and recognized it to be the Messiah. something began to react. And again, like Christ speak, Moses born, and then he was afterwards, he was brought to the place where he was anointed. And notice, the seed laying there with an intellectual conception. That's how it is. You know, we go to church and, you know, so Moses is told, you're the deliverer, you're the promised one. Here's what mama did and put you in the river and its basket, and crocodiles were coming after you, but sister followed you. You ended up in the princess's house, and she scooped you up, and then she said, go get a wet nurse. And so sister went home and got mama, and mama came over, and she got to raise you after all. And you've been raised for a great purpose. God's going to use you as a deliverer. You're going to be the fulfillment of prophecy. And in his mind, since he isn't quickened, in his mind, he thought, oh, okay, I'll do that. And he ended up killing an Egyptian and ended up running off out in the desert. He trying to do it, trying to make the word happen with our minds. That's what we all do before we're quickened. Well, I'll just be good. Well, that's nice. It's nice to be good. But there was a good man that came that said, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And so he played the good guy card with him. He said, oh, well, you know, keep all the commandments. Done. Check. Done that. But he knew he didn't have that life. Hallelujah. The seed laying there with an intellectual conception, with all the faith that he was born to deliver this people. But it was an intellectual faith. And yet it never come to life until that light from the burning bush flashed across it. Began to become real to him at that point. Until he's seen. Not something that he read about. That's why we must have a living God in our midst. He's not just a God of history. It's all right, God of history, this is what he did. But all of us telling you about what he did is so that you know what to expect in what he's doing. Because the only God you're ever going to know is the one that's here right now. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Until he's seen, not something that he read about, but something he's seen with his own eyes. With his eyes, something that spoke to him. You can't explain that. But something down in your soul said, wow, God just showed me something. God just made himself real to me. And he spoke back to it. Oh, how did that bring things to life. So Moses had an intellectual faith, and he tried to make the word come to pass, and he made a mess of it. Then he went 40 years with, and then the pillar of fire came and quickened him, and everything changed. He says, that old man of nearly 100 years old, not a churchman at all, but just the first time that the light flashed across his path, he received it. He's talking about Brother Way or some brother in the church. The first time that light flashed across his path, he received it. See, that predestinated seed laying there? Yes, sir. See, as soon as the light strikes it, it comes to life right quick. Some of us were in the world carrying a predestinated seed around with us. And we looked here and we looked there and we couldn't find peace. We couldn't find satisfaction. We couldn't find our purpose. And we searched here, we searched there. We put on a biker's outfit maybe, and they said, you look ridiculous. And so maybe you went and played a horn, and they said, you can't play. And so you went and did this and did that and did the other. Others sat on a church pew and still couldn't find peace. We're still looking for the unfailing realities of the living God. But one day, that light came across your path, and something began to stir. And somehow, you let go, and you gave God permission to kill that old nature. And he annihilated it, judged it, killed it, and then forgave the sin of that life. We're going to get into something here in just a moment, if you could just hold on. Taking sides with Jesus. He said, Rabbi, when did you know me? He said, well, before Philip called you, when you were under the tree, I saw you. He says, the water struck that predestinated seed. And when it did, he said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. You're the king of Israel. What was it? The seed was laying there ready. God sowed it back yonder before the foundation of the world that it should bring forth the light right at that time. So something takes place right there. You cannot be born again without faith. Your faith is quickened. Faith is a revelation. Your faith is quickened. Have faith and be born again. He says, hallelujah. He says, that's my stand right there, brother. That's where I believe, right there. I preach it, and it falls here, and it falls there, and they go this way, and they go that way. It don't make any difference. Somewhere, it's going to strike a seed. I believe that with all my heart. This word will not return unto him void, and it's living word. We wait on him. We tarry. We seek the Lord. You pull on the gift. The word comes forth, and it's going to strike something. It's not going forth in vain. Somewhere it's going to strike a seed. And when it did, it'll fly out to life just like that. Just as sure as the world. Yes, sir. So it took a certain light to quicken the seed that's down on the inside of you. You went and got underneath some Methodist light. It didn't, you know, met some nice people, lovely people. They had a method to what they were doing and nothing against that, but nothing changed in you, right? You went to the Catholic and nothing, you know, they said say Hail Marys and pray over beads and crawl on your knees and pay the priest a certain amount of money and buy a candle and whatever. You were willing to do it, so you did it. Nothing happened. Nothing changed. Maybe you went to a Pentecostal church. They said, well, the way it is you just come down here and just start saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And pretty soon you're going to trip over your own tongue and it's going to, you know, they don't tell you this, but it's going to sound like you're speaking in tongues. Well, your tongue's just, you know, this thick now and dry as a desert. And maybe you do speak in tongues, but devils can speak in tongues. I believe in speaking in tongues. Nothing against that, but that's not evidence that you've been born again. But one day, that light came to you. That's the beauty of it. And you know that. You know that you didn't find the light. You know that you didn't find some treasure map and, you know, well, it's up in the Himalayas somewhere and I'm going to put an expedition together. And, you know, then you went it and you did all that. And then you finally, you know, you'd feel like you earned it if that was the case. But one day, maybe you quit looking. Maybe you quit looking, but one day, you heard something and it struck like nothing ever struck you before. Nobody could see any difference. You couldn't see any difference on the outside, but in the inside, something that was God speaking to you. It took an evening light to wake you up. It took a golden light to wake you up. This is the golden age. So it took the golden light to quicken that. The word for your day has quickening life in it. And no other word does. You can hear self-help teachings. And you can hear just try harder teachings. And you can hear I'll be good teachings. And you can try to apply all that you've heard. But there is no life in it to make you a new creature. At the very best, you'll just become a better version of your old self, which is still condemned to death. You're not changed. Again, Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll try and hurry here. Watch that woman. Watch these Pharisees and trained up, see? And they said, this man's Beelzebub. He's a devil. Look when that light flashed across that little predestinated seed there. When it struck that real seed of God that was before the foundation of the world. Probably the name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life. When it struck that, quickly she recognized it. In her condition, she recognized it. Brother, I say that that woman knew more about God right then than half the people in the United States. Right. She recognized. Why? She was ordained before the foundation of the world when that light struck it. Friends, it's no different today. When that light comes across your path, it's no different than that woman, than Jesus Christ coming and speaking to her and her coming to life. It's no different. The only difference is the body's missing. It's the same word and it's the same life. Hallelujah. She was ordained for that day. And when the light struck, it didn't do anything to all the rocks that were around her. Just to the seed. But that's what it was set there for. See how sure this is? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. Not a reformed, Amen. Not a, what would we call it? A remodel? A new creature. Not a cleaned up pig. A new creature. Old things are passed away. Yeah, that old nature died. Sins were forgiven. Behold, all things become new. That word new means recently made. Recently made. Not cleaned up, not polished. Recently made. Fresh, recent, unused, unworn. New, which is recently made, is superior to that what it succeeds. We're not remade. We are freshly made. That old nature cannot be reformed. We must be made fresh, brand new. So this newly made part of you is the you that never sinned. It's the you that marries Christ Jesus. It's the you that unites with Him. He can't unite with sin, so there can't be any sin in you. In the you that's you. On the inside of the inside. Again, future home. You become a new person. Amen. Not just an old one patched up by joining a church or trying to turn a new page, but you are a new, you are a complete brand new unit. A complete brand new unit. You're not some old computer that's had an upgrade. You're a new computer. You're a brand new unit. A new creature. God takes the old man. Oh, I love how he puts this, Brother Eli. God takes the old man and burns him completely out. What happened? There was arson. Well, who did it, Father? What's left? Nothing. Except the house. But he burned out everything. He scorched it all out. Scorched earth policy. Not just put it in a cage. Burned it out. Oh. Burns them completely out with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's scriptural. I verily baptize you with water. There's coming one after me that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. He's going to burn down your house. Hallelujah. Don't worry. He went to make another one for you. And comes himself. Sends down your representation. That angelic being. That lick of fire. That lick of fire that's about the size of a button. We call it the Holy Ghost. It's actually part of you that came out of Him. He divided Himself on the day of Pentecost. Little tongues of fire rested on each one of them. No man can come to me except my Father has drawn him, and all the Father has given me will come. You see, congregation says amen. So God burns out the old nature, which you give Him permission to do, because He won't do it without permission. And that old nature dies in the fire. There's no forensic evidence left. No DNA. He's gone. You are empty now. You can live without a soul. An animal has a spirit and flesh. You can live the same way as an animal. In fact, somebody that's cloned, do they have a soul? The soul comes from God. That's a whole other subject. But you're empty. And there's a place in you now that needs to be filled. And there's something in you waiting to be quickened. Something comes inside of you about the size of a button and comes in you to quicken you and abide in you. And that's your representation. That guardian angel that's been following you around, what do you think it's been watching over you? Coming to quicken that life. coming to make sure you didn't fall off that bridge that you almost fell off of, or ran into that traffic that you almost ran into, had that overdose that you almost had, or whatever it was, shot yourself, whatever it might have been. Oh my. I hope you see it, friends. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but a new creature. Ephesians 4:23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4:24. That ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. 1 John 3:9. This is the clincher here. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Didn't say before you were born of God that you didn't commit sin. It says if you're born of God. Whosoever is born of God. Your flesh is not born of God. The gene seed is. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed, you, his seed, you, remaineth in him. And he cannot sin. Why? Because he's born of God. This word seed in the Greek, sperma, issue, the semen, the product of this semen, seed, children, offspring, progeny, family, race, posterity, whatever possesses vital force or life-giving power, the Holy Spirit, the divine energy operating within the soul by which we are regenerated, re-gened. Our old genes of that old nature is gone. And we've been re-gened, the genes of our Father. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. The invisible union. Again, he says, well, you separated from your first union by a spiritual death. Now you're born again. You're remarried again to a new spiritual union of not your natural life of the things of the world, but of eternal life. That germ that was in you at the beginning found you. And again, he says, now your name is now in the new book, not the book of life, but the Lamb's book of life. What the Lamb redeemed. Not the old book of your natural union, but your new bride. Hallelujah. Your new life is in the Lamb's book of life. Your marriage certificate. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is your marriage certificate. Hallelujah. Where your true eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. Now, this is what I wanted to get to, and thank you for your patience, but I have to get to this point. Now you're not only forgiven, but you're justified. Glory. Justified. Romans 5:1 said, therefore, being justified by faith. Now, why is this important? Because there were many years when we read this that we really didn't know what Brother Branham was getting at. And it wasn't because we didn't hear it. We heard it. It wasn't because we didn't study it. We studied it. But he says you're forgiven and you're justified. Well, why do I need to be forgiven if I'm justified? See what I mean? He's speaking of two different things. And when you see that, then you want to run around the block. Then you almost shouted in church. You came this close. Elbow your neighbor and say, praise the Lord. So what he's saying here, and I'll break it out just a little bit more if you'll just give me just a couple of minutes. You are forgiven and you are also justified. Your old life is forgiven. Your old nature is killed. It's burned up, annihilated. And the deeds of your old nature, they're forgiven because you did do them. He didn't say you never did it. You did. So you need to be forgiven of that. But the new you is justified because you never did it. And by faith, you believe that. By faith, you receive that. And your faith is your evidence. You're believing that there's something in you that's sinless. You're believing that there's something in you that cannot fail. You're believing that there's something in you that believes God's word. You're believing that there's something in you that has the nature of your Father. You're believing that there's something in you that when this life is over, that it's going into another body. And you're believing that. You're believing that that part of you already has eternal life. That part of you cannot be deceived. And you believe that. So your old life is forgiven. And your new life is justified. Your new life never did it to begin with. And so no blame is held against it. And so that's where that scripture fits in. Can anybody lay anything against, any charge against the elect of God? You're saying, but wait a minute. I know I did this, that, the other, and I've been forgiven. But now you're saying, can any charge be laid against you? We're not talking about the old you. We're talking about the new you. And you have to make that distinction. Old creature, new creature. Old nature, new nature. Born below, born above. As we went through the scripture here, I'll just touch on this lightly real quick, but as we went through this a couple of services ago, Jesus said, except ye be born again, you shall in no wise inherit eternal life. That's actually a mistranslation. It was translated from the Greek, 1600s, King James, 1500s, whenever it was, King James, and they took that word to mean again, but it doesn't mean again. The correct translation is, except ye be born from above. Not born again, but that was what was in their mind. How can I enter into my mother's womb a second time? I got to be born again. No, you got to be born from above. You were already born. That which is earthly is earthly. That which is heavenly is heavenly. Hallelujah. If God is a spirit and you're born again, you're a spirit. Again, invisible union. Look up the word. The word don't mean forgiven. Notice he says, you're forgiven and you're justified. Then he says, look up the word justified. It doesn't mean you're forgiven. I hope somebody's listening. It's not double speak. There's a part of you that's forgiven. There's a part of you that doesn't need to be forgiven. Can I have the... All right. The word means justified. It don't mean you're forgiven. For instance, if you heard I got drunk and I'd done some things, some evil things and everything, then you come around and you say to me, you know what I found out? You found out I didn't do them. Then you come around and you say, Brother Branham, I forgive you. Forgive me? I didn't do it at the first place. Now, if I did do it, I'm guilty. But you could forgive me. And then I wouldn't be guilty. But yet, I'm not justified, right? I'm not justified because I actually done it. So there's a difference between being forgiven and being justified. Do you see that? But the word justified is though you've never done it. Amen. It's not even regarded at all. How is it done? In God's book of the sea of his forgetfulness, your old book and marriage, your old book and marriage, your old book and marriage, that's your old life and your old deeds, is divorced and dead. And it's not even in the memories of God. It was forgiven. Then it was wiped out. Amen. You are justified. Therefore, being justified, it was accused. You was accused. But you never done it. See, that's not, you're not being forgiven of something. You never did it. In the first place. Where were you in the first place? Where were you when the sons of God shouted for joy and the morning star sang? You're in his thinking. You're in him. He chose you in him. There's no sin in him. So if you came from him, there can't be any sin in you. The part of you that came from him. Well, let's just go ahead and blaspheme here. You're part of God. You came from his loins. If my daddy was an elephant, what would I be? An elephant. If my daddy was a giraffe, what would I be? If my daddy was a lion, what would I be? If my daddy was an eagle, I'd have a big nose. If my daddy was God, you're an amateur God. To have preeminence over this earth, not the universe. This is your dominion. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to rule and reign with him as kings and priests. It's not making us into something. That's what you were predestinated to be. Glory to God. The old union is in the sea of God's forgetfulness. You wasn't married to it to begin with. The new part of you, how could it? This part came later. It was quickened. It was laying there dormant. It was little brother that got carried around on the... Oh, that's good. I love that. Prodigal son. He was dragged around on the crime scene and all that. He didn't have a choice. Big brother's doing all this stuff. But one day, big brother died. Little brother came to life. Little brother never did the things that big brother did. He wasn't married to it to begin with. He, the bridegroom, bore your shame himself for you in your place. He took your place before, for you were predestinated for him to be in his bride before the foundation of the world. That's what Paul said. The Bible said so. You are a predestined, you are the predestinated seed. Your first wedding was annulled. It was. You never done it in the first place because there's only one thing that could do it, and that would be God come down himself. He took your place in the form of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, washed you by the water of the washing of the water by the word. Again, he says, that bogus marriage of the world to those denominations, you came and died into the world. You redeemed her. You justified her. She never did it at the first place. She was trapped into it. Again, in the rapture message. He said, and notice, not only is the bride washed, forgiven, but she is justified. So forgiven and justified are two different things. Did you ever try that word justified to see what it means? Now, for instance, if Brother Green heard that I had been drinking, I've been doing bad things, then he found out that I didn't do it, then he comes and says, well, I forgive you, Brother Branham. Do you forgive me? I never done it. What are you forgiving me about? See, but if I'm guilty, then I can be forgiven. But I'm still not just because I did it. But the word justified is though you never done it at all. Justified. Then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from from sin till it's put in the book of God's forgetfulness. That's your old nature and the deeds of your old nature. He's the only one that can do it. We can't. We can forgive, but not forget. I could forgive you, but I'll always remember you did these evil things. Then you're not just, but you're forgiven. But in the sight of God, the bride is justified. She never done it in the first place. Amen. Standing there married to the virtuous Son of God. Never sinned in the first place. Why? She was foreordained. She was trapped into this. That gene was coming along for the ride. Now when she heard the truth and come forth, the blood cleansed her and she stands there virtuous, no sin on her at all. And the church said, you have to stand and be married to the perfect Son of God and you must be a perfect bride. So how can you do it through anything else but a perfect word of God, which is the waters of separation that washes us from our sin? You're being washed tonight. If you can receive it, it's washing you. Washed by the waters of the Word. It's the only soap that'll truly cleanse you and set you free. The waters of separation, the washes us from our sins. Amen. That's right. The blood of Jesus Christ. Think of it. The dripping bloody Word. Amen. The blood, the Word of God, bleeding blood to wash the bride in. Amen. Yes, sir. She stands perfect. Virgin. Unadulterated. Not imagined that she's unadulterated. That part in you never did sin. Let it sink in. He's not going to marry somebody that just got cleaned up. It's the other part of you that's getting washed. The part that's in you doesn't need to be washed. It's born of God. The seed incorruptible. The Word of God. Your word of His word. Flesh of His flesh. Bone of His bone. Glory. Hallelujah. She never sinned in the first place. Amen. She was trapped into it. See? And if a man's ever born of the Spirit of God, he becomes a new creature and can't produce nothing else but godly fear and godly love and the fruits of the Spirit, for it is life. We are sowed with the incorruptible seed of God, the imperishable seed of God. It's got to produce just exactly of its kind. Amen. Amen. He says, I'm not condemning, this last page here, I'm not condemning Catholic people, I'm not condemning Protestant people, for out of both, all of them comes the seed of God by election. Those who are ordained to life will see it, and they'll walk in it. Those who cannot see it will walk in darkness. That's up to God. So just because we can be emotional, it don't mean that we're saved. Because we go to church, it don't mean that we're saved. Don't believe those enticing spirits. A real Spirit of God, a real Word of God, is the truth of God, which is the seed of God, which will produce God in your life. You'd be godly, saintly, holy. Because you have a different nature. Last one, show us the Father. You don't go to heaven by an organization. You go to heaven by this new seed of God being born in your heart. That's right. Hallelujah. Hope you don't mind a little revelation on a Wednesday night, but you know, just trust it'll put a little spring in your step. And just say, take that, devil. You know, devil, fall. You're a failure and you did this and do that. Well, devil, you remember that. But God don't remember it. And I'm putting behind those things. I believe I've been forgiven of that. I'm putting those things behind. But there's a new life living in me now. And that's the part that he's talking to. And that's the part that he's drawing. And that's the part he's uniting with. And that's the part that's going to go to be with him. And that's the part he's in love with. Hallelujah. And right now, I'm seated together. Right now, if the musicians could come. Right now, I'm seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You say, well, how could you be? You're right here. Well, heaven's right here too. It's just another dimension that's moving a little quicker. Amen. I am hid in him, and he is hid in me. I have passed from death unto life. I can't die any more than God can die. You can't die any more than God can die. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you've been quickened, you are a new creature. Friends, I don't apologize. I don't know. You know, well, you know, what if we have visitors? Well, I was a visitor at one time. I didn't know how many poles there were. Somebody tried to tell me there was a fourth pole and was trying to do this star chart and whatever, and I'm thinking, I think I just heard about the third pole. I'm trying to figure that one out, but I didn't need to know those things. What I knew was that as the word was going forth, God spoke to my heart. And something began to respond. The gray matter up here said, now wait a minute, you know, there's all these deceivers out there and you know, this one's doing this, and you don't want to be deceived, but yet you're hearing something that you know is right. Because something down in there knows that it's right. You were made for it. It was made for you. You can't help it. You're not afraid to believe it. Even though your mind can't reason with it. The beautiful part is you stick around long enough and God will even help your mind to receive it. But whether or not your mind receives it, we believe it. And it's producing something in our lives. You see lives that are changed, it gets your attention. When you see people that are not just going to church like it's a club, like it's an organization, they're not just saying creeds, they're not just going to a certain church that says that we believe this and we believe that, but you see lives that match the Scripture. You see lives where you feel, you get around people and they just feel so squeaky clean, and you feel a little bit of conviction when you get around them, and you think, my, you probably never did anything wrong.
And you don't realize that they were maybe a heroin addict or living out on the street. Or once again, they were Republicans. I throw that out there because it don't matter what our background was, you know. There's no good thing in us. In fact, when he played the good guy card, he said, good master. What good thing was he? He said, don't call me good. There's no flesh that can glory in his presence. There's none good but God. So we're not looking at that, but there's a life that comes down on the inside. A life that comes down that is good. Not because you decided to be good and not because he made you be good, but because it is good. And you're just starting to get acquainted with yourself. You're starting to find out who you really are. Who God made you to be. What your purpose is. He just got baptized, if you didn't know that. Hallelujah. Because something was dealing with his heart. Something was speaking. I never told him to get baptized. Mom and Dad didn't talk him into it. In the right time, the right season, when he played the cymbal over here, when he heard the word, heard something in Sunday school, heard something in church, whatever, the word coming forth, and he says, you know what? I think I'm supposed to listen to this. I think I'm supposed to obey this. Something's calling me. I think I'm believing this. That it starts the process. Right? And it builds and it builds and it builds. And you grow and you mature. There's a promise of that life coming and abiding within you. And it's a promise. Then it's not you trying to be a Christian. You are a Christian. You either are a Christian or you're not a Christian. Brother Branham said in the message law, and I am stopping, but he said in the message law, he says, you say, well, I'm not a very good Christian. Not a very good Christian. You either are or you aren't. He says, don't talk that way. He says, when you talk that way, you're speaking the devil's language. Right? I'll probably never amount to anything. I'm not a very good Christian. He says, that's exactly what the devil wants you to say. But the word says something different. The word says, you're an overcomer. The word says, without him, I can do nothing. But with him, I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. The word says, you're going in a rapture. The word says, you're going to live throughout eternity. The word says, you're going into the millennium. The word says, you're united with Jesus Christ. The word. The word says, you're virtuous, sinless, blameless, spotless in the soul. Hallelujah. That God is your Father. Somebody sent this little cartoon, which I forwarded to a few people, and two boys are kind of talking to one another, and he says, you ever met anybody famous? And he says, well, I don't want to brag, but I heard my dad say the other day that God was his Father. Yeah, I know somebody famous. My dad said God was his Father. Well, you'll get it. Think about it. You're either born from above or born from below. Hallelujah. And if you're born from above, Paul said that we have a terrestrial body and a celestial body. He said, if this body, earthly tabernacle, be dissolved, we have one waiting for us. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you love him tonight? Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for just a moment. Father, we're just so thankful for the encouraging words of life, Lord. Father, we don't want to wear anybody out, and we know it's a midweek service, but Lord, we do want to tell you that we thank you. We do want to tell you that we love you, and Lord, we do want to tell you that these are the most encouraging words that we could hear, Lord, is your words. Lord, your words lift us up. Your words don't come to cast us down. We were already cast down. We were cast down so far that there was no way for us to get back up. So you took off your royal robes and you came down and made yourself lower than the lowest. You made yourself as a foot wash flunky at one point in time and washed the dirt off the very dirt that you created. You served those that you came to, that you created and that you came to redeem. Lord, you reached down so low
down into the miry clay. Lord, I was once buried so deep in sin, I had no idea who I really was. I had little glimpses. I caught little glimpses. Something was burning in my heart. Little glimpses would come, and I'd hear truth, and I'd say, "Yep, that's the word. Yep, that's the truth." But Lord, it wasn't until you came in your living word for this day, the word that you're living out right now, the word that's taking on flesh. It wasn't until I came in contact with that, Lord, that I heard words of life. I heard you speaking to me, Lord. Father, one day I'm reading in the book of John, and it's just breaking on me. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, it's just breaking on me, and as I'm reading the love letter of John, and Lord, scriptures that I'd read my whole life, in Sunday school, in church, memorized scripture at home, and very familiar with it. But it was of a man that lived in a one-piece robe that died 2,000 years ago, that is resurrected somewhere, is living somewhere, and left us the Word. But Lord, at one point in time, all of a sudden those words that were laying on the page were living words. And I heard you speaking those words to me. You said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Lord, I needed rest from this a sin-stained life. Lord, you said, "Come, learn of my ways, for my yoke is easy, my ways are right, and I will give you rest." Lord, there's rest from sin, and then there's that eternal rest that comes from being quickened by your Spirit, being yoked with you, Lord, walking with you, talking with you, dependent upon you. You said, "I will send you the Comforter." Lord, I didn't know what those words meant, but Lord, you made it real through the light of the Word. "I will come unto you, not another, and I will lead you into all truth. I will comfort you. I'll guide you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I do, I will come back for you, so that where I am, you may be also." Lord, that went from being historical to you speaking directly to me. Lord, I believe that's how it is with every son and daughter of God. Lord, it would be a different scripture, a different something, but Lord, your word becomes alive to us. Lord, we believe it like we believe that night is night and day is day. We accept it and something is coming to life. Lord, we cry out to you. And Lord, we're convinced of your word convinces us. The preaching of the gospel catches the sinner, and it convinces us of sin. And then, Lord, we say, what must I do? Lord, then you tell us, repent with a sorrowful repentance. Be baptized in the name above all names, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will give you a gift, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Father, you promised that. You said, "For the promises done to you, to your children, to your children's children, to those that are afar off, even as many as our Lord God shall call." I believe you're still calling, Lord. In each and every age, you're still collecting seed, Lord. You're still quickening your children, bringing them to life, and your offspring are manifesting what you placed them here on the earth to do. They're living epistles. They're the Word of God being read of all men. Quickened Word. Word that's been made alive. Father, I pray that if there's anyone under the sound of our voice here tonight, Lord, if there's something down on the inside that's crying out for that life, and Lord, that life hasn't made its abode yet. They haven't been fully quickened, Lord. I pray they take you at your word, not struggle, not look for any certain kind of sensation, Lord, but first of all, say, "Lord, I believe your word. I believe. Give me faith, Lord, to believe that you're going to give me that life, that there's something down in me, Lord, that I'm forgiven, Lord, that you've put it in the sea of your forgetfulness. But now, Lord, I give you permission to destroy that old nature that desires the things of the world. And Lord, I ask you to come and quicken that other nature that's laying there, that's
responding to you, that's being drawn by you. If that's you, you just want to lift your hand to Him this evening. Father, you see hands that are raised up in the building. Bless each and every one, Lord. You know the heart that's below the hand. Lord, this is not a matter of us begging. It's not a matter of us raising our voice. Your word's going forth. It'll find its resting place, Lord. And it'll perform. You cannot lie, Lord. You'll bankrupt heaven, for you allow one promise to go unfulfilled. I pray that you give them the desires of their heart tonight, Lord. Father, we accept it, we believe it, and we're expecting it to take place. Grant it, O God. We love you. We thank you. Give you the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Mind of my soul, I give my every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way.